Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, Cuba. What is going on in Cuba, and how does it apply to us in America? We go through the history of Cuba and how it connects to a deeper trend that I think is coming to a city near you. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I hope to see all of you this weekend in Tampa, Florida at tpusa.com/SAS. Not too late to get your tickets. July 17, 18, 19, 20 in Tampa, Florida. Make sure to get your tickets. And if you want to help support this program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Lou from Washington for supporting us. Thank you. Steve from Newburgh, New York. Thank you for your support. James from Pittsburgh. Thank you for your support. Jim from Tucson, Alabama. Thank you. Kathy from California. Thank you so much. I want to thank Daniel from Dodge City, Kansas. Thank you. Amy from Lee, Florida. Thank you. So when I say thank you to these people, what are they supporting? They're supporting our team. We basically run a 24-hour shift here. There might be 3 or 4 hours where we don't have somebody working on something, whether it be researching, editing, cutting, going into stories, going in directions that quite honestly, are thought crimes in the American media. Very few podcasts are willing to talk about vaccines. Very few podcasts are willing to tell you the truth about what's happening with the corporate oligarchy. You know why? Because they want corporate advertisers. But when you guys support us at charliekirk.com/support, you guys give us that freedom. We still have advertisers and partners. But quite honestly, do you know what allows us to have the peace of mind to go say things without being worried about being canceled? You. When you guys support us at charliekirk.com/support, you guys hand us freedom to be able to keep this enterprise going outside of all the protests, all the cancellations, and the mob of angry and decent people that try to take us off the air or try to take us and say, you know what, we're not going to make it financially sustainable. But do you know what our amazing backup is? You. So thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. You keep our whole team going and growing. Thank you guys so much. Cuba and so much more. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counterman orders the parts in your computer, snickering and mocking you, knowing that you are the latest overpriced victim when you actually have the access that he has? At rockauto.com, you guys know the jingle, all the parts you ever need, rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money. So rockauto.com, they're wonderful. They love their country and they're a family business, serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, the shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a couple clicks delivered straight to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there. How'd you hear about us? That's rockauto.com. Promo code Charlie Kirk. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. You know, over the weekend, I was thinking about what are the major stories happening right now in America? What are the things that we're going to have to explore with our audience together? Now, if you would have told me 5 days ago I would be leading our Monday morning program talking about Cuba or anything Cuban, I thought I would be talking about the Cuban sandwich I had in the Denver International Airport, which was actually very delicious. I don't know if anyone – it's one of the most underrated lunch items. Have you had one, Mr. Gordon? It's terrific. A good Cuban – it has ham, pork, and a pickle. It's terrific. You got to give it to the Cubans. I didn't think that all of a sudden I would be leading our Monday morning program talking about Cuba. I feel as if that's kind of been done. You know, we on this program have said many times, you want to see the difference between the styles of government. The boats only go one way. People from Miami, Florida are not going to Havana. People from Havana are always trying to go to Miami, Florida. In Cuba, they have banned the use of civilian ownership of boats because they are afraid that citizens will flee. They do not allow citizens to travel to America for extended periods of time. They have, if they travel to America, they almost always keep a family member back in Cuba to almost metaphorically hold them hostage to try to have them come back to Cuba. So I didn't really anticipate much coverage around Cuba. And then yesterday I started to see video after video of the Cuban people, surprisingly and literally out of nowhere, start to rise up against the totalitarian regime that has been controlling the Cuban people. So a little history about Cuba. It's an island nation of about 11.3 million people. In 1902, Cuba officially was given their independence after the Spanish-American War and 3.5 years of American rule. If you want to read some very interesting war commentary, go read Teddy Roosevelt and the Roughnecks in Cuba in the late 1890s. Just terrific. Terrific military commentary written by the people on the front lines there. Cuba was given independence, or they gained independence in 1902. What followed was a quasi-dictatorship until the 26th of July movement. It happened in July in 1953. In 1953, Fidel and Raul Castro partnered with the anti-gay activist Che Guevara, and they staged a revolution, a successful revolution. Now, the preconditions for that revolution were hyperinflation, food shortages, famine, the inability for people to move up, and they capitalized on that sort of those economic conditions, the deterioration of the middle class in Cuba, to seize power. Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, and Raul formed a new communist style of government. It was a successful revolution. It was a six-year revolution, though. This was not like the Russian Revolution, where it was you blinked, you went away for 10 days in the hills, and you came back. Next thing you know, Vladimir Lenin's in charge. The Russian Revolution was quick, and it was bloody, but it completely different than the Long March Cuban Revolution. From there, Fidel Castro decided to pledge his allegiance to Moscow, to the international communist ambitions and aims. All of a sudden, weaponry, technology, and resources flowed into Cuba from the Soviet Union. This is what created the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is what spurred on the Bay of Pigs. And throughout the 1960s and 1970s, Cuba became the closest thing to Soviet presence in America that we could think of. 90 miles off the coast of Florida, we had a Soviet proxy state near us. In the 70s and 80s, it became more and more clear that the beautiful nation of Cuba was being dominated and controlled by the totalitarian dictatorship of the Castros. What happened is the people of Cuba remained permanently poor, and the Castros got infinitely wealthy and rich. See, I go back into these archives in my head. I believe Barbara Walters went and interviewed Fidel Castro in the 1990s. And that is one of the most interesting interviews you'll ever see into the life, into the language, and into the philosophy of a third world dictator. So all of the Cuban Revolution happened in July of 1953. So what makes Cuba different than America? Cuba does not have a constitutional-style government like we do. Their government does not exist to protect natural rights. Freedom of speech and assembly is not something that's protected by the Cuban government. Private property is barely tolerated. You can have limited forms of property. I'll give you one example. You are allowed, if the government gives you a license, to own a restaurant. But you're not allowed to own more than one restaurant because that wouldn't be fair. So what does that mean? That means the best restaurateurs, that means the best entrepreneurs have to limit themselves to just a single restaurant. And if that restaurant gets too popular, you might be forced to limit your hours. Now, the Chinese coronavirus has been raging throughout the world over the last year and a half, potentially even longer than that. And countries that were already on economic fragile footing are now going to experience revolutionary type energy from their citizens. And we're seeing this actually happen right now in South Africa. We're seeing this happen in a lot of countries that are now right on the edge of upheaval. You can only lock down your citizens so long and restrict production and inflate your currency before normal people start to rise up. So I want to play you some tape here of the Cuban people walking through the streets, yelling and screaming, saying that they want liberty and they want freedom. Play tape. That is just a 9-second clip right there of the Cuban people saying liberty in Spanish. I wish many Americans wanted liberty as bad as the Cuban people do. I wish that the upper middle class white liberals in Malibu, San Francisco, in Brooklyn, I wish they wanted liberty. And they desired it as much as the Cuban people do. Now, the Cubans, as they come to America, become the most conservative. They become the most family-centered people in the entire country. There's a reason why the Biden administration, they want a million Hondurans and El Salvadorians to come to America, but they don't like it when all of a sudden Cubans come to America. It's interesting that they say they're for open borders, which, of course, we oppose. But if you dare say, well, why not another 10,000 Cubans coming to Florida? No, they don't want that. Or how about Hungarians or Poles or Ukrainians or Latvians or Estonians or Serbians? No, you see, Democrats do not want people that have lived under communism to come to America. They don't like that. Instead, they would much rather have people that are desiring this promise of a utopia for free stuff and don't quite understand the real-life totalitarian implications of these sort of ideas. And in the next segment, I'm going to dive into why this is happening in Cuba, the implications it has for us in America, and how this could be a canary in the coal mine, a precursor, or a tremor of things to come as normal people start to rise up against authoritarianism. Look, it's back to school time, and you might be feeling the burden of college bills and private tuition expenses. With home equity at an all-time high and interest rates low, refinancing your house could be a great way to get some cash and pay those bills. So look, if you want to refinance your house or do anything with a bank, let's just say timeout. Right? We're going to call a timeout, two-minute warning, right? Hands on the shoulders. We're going to just kind of say, let's take a pause here. Are you using a bank that hates your values? It's a very simple question. Are you using a bank that is at war with your worldview? Well, if you have refinanced recently with a big bank, you have just given a check, a cashier's check, a wire transfer to Nicole Hannah-Jones, to Stacey Abrams, to Joe Biden, to Chuck Schumer, to Nancy Pelosi. You see, when you refinance with the big boys, the banks of the wokesters, you might as well give your hard-earned money to the revolutionaries that are burning down our streets. You might as well give it to Planned Parenthood. But if you want to support the good guys, two Christian men that I've got to know very well, they love the Lord, they love the Bible, they are great people. We just hung out in Dallas, and we had the best time. We had a great meal together. They're terrific. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage, and I know them and trust with them, and you should work with them too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com and take the 30-second survey to answer a couple questions. But look, maybe you're a calling person. You're like, Charlie, I take enough surveys. Fine. Test me. Call 888-888-1172 and say, I would like to talk to Andrew and Todd. Charlie Kirk sent me. That's 888-888-1172. andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com. No more Goldman Sachs, no more JP Morgan Chase, no more Wells Fargo, no more financing or refinancing with the banks that hate your values. Again, I hate to be this tribal about it. They hate you. Go to people that love you at andrewandtodd.com. They love the Lord. They love the country. Let's support them at andrewandtodd.com. NBC News says, we are no longer afraid. Thousands of Cubans protest against the government. Thousands of Cubans took to the streets on Sunday in an unusual protest in which civilians shouted slogans against the communist government, such as, we want freedom and we are no longer afraid. The demonstrations came at a time when Cuba faced the worst economic crisis since the fall of the Soviet Union, an increase in repression against political opponents and a strained health system during the critical stage of the pandemic. So is this just a momentary flash in the pan, or is this a sign of more things to come? Now, one of the reasons this is happening, and actually the leader of Cuba, this dictator by the name of Miguel Díaz-Canel, who has succeeded the legacy of the Castros, he blames American blockades for the reason this is happening. Now, that's not completely untrue. Now, they use that as a straw man argument. But it's not completely untrue, because one of the reasons that we have put sanctions on Cuba is to try to have this desired revolutionary effect. The reason that we put sanctions is to punish them for their behavior. Now, I've gone back and forth on Cuban sanctions. I wrote a piece for Town Hall in 2014 calling for the repealing of all sanctions. Now, I did that because I believed in neoliberal idealism. There is a pattern in economics that is generally true, but not always true. It was taught to me as if it was a law of economics. And the great Milton Friedman used to say this, but I hate to say, and I wish Milton Friedman was here to defend himself, because he'd probably do a better job of defending a position that is wrong than I could even do asserting a position that is right. One of the most gifted communicators and one of the best presenters of ideas, I think, in American history, where Milton Friedman convinced me back in 2013, 14, and 15 that the more you trade with a nation, the more they will embrace the ideas of private property, freedom of association, freedom of speech, and constitutional-style government. Milton Friedman had me believing that if we traded with China enough, eventually China is going to start acting like the people of Cincinnati. Now, that's generally true, by the way. That is true in nations like Vietnam. It's true in nations, for example, in the Philippines. It's true in Thailand. Southeast Asia is a great example of that pattern. But it's not true in China. It's also not true with every other country in the world. For example, it's not true with every Middle Eastern country. Trade can be helpful to try to break down authoritarianism. But if you have a clever enough ruling class with the nation that you're trading with, they will use whatever economic advantage they have to only make their ruling class more powerful, like China has, and they'll use that against you. So for Cuba, there has been people that have been saying, if we trade with them, it's going to make them more Western. It's going to make them more likely to want to embrace American ideas and values. I remember walking through the Miami airport a couple years ago because there was a lift on the travel embargo to Havana, and I saw on an American Airlines departure, I saw Havana. just really kind of disoriented me. So it might as well just say Stalingrad, right? Like Havana, like nonstop flights from Miami to Havana. I had mixed feelings about it. The idealist in me said, oh, this is wonderful. We're all going to live in John Lennon's world. No more war, nothing but peace, running through the meadows. We're going to have flowers in our hair, and we're all going to just love each other. And then the other side of me said, oh, my goodness, why would the dictators of Cuba want that? They might want that because they want the cheap flow of goods so that they could keep their broken and evil totalitarian experiment going longer. The prediction I'm going to make is that the tremors are only going to increase. Middle-class revolutions are just starting across the world. The U.S. national debt is expected to approach $89 trillion by 2029. Real inflation rate is estimated to be upwards of 10%. We are going backwards, and soon enough, the $1 million you have tucked away for your retirement might not even last you a year. Because debt is now growing faster than the economy, and the administration in Washington proposes another $6 trillion in spending, the situation isn't likely to improve anytime soon. Uncertainty is back, or did it ever really leave? I trust our friends at Noble Gold Investments. They can help you make the right play. Download a free gold investment guide at noblegoldinvestments.com. Revolutions are interesting things. They can't always be planned. Sometimes the conditions happen organically, and then once the movement begins, it starts to take a life of its own. And we're starting to see almost every necessary prerequisite for massive middle-class revolutions across the world. They're all put in place. Distrust of the ruling class, large amounts of time cooped up at home, this downward plunder of taking from the next generation to try to protect older people. And we're going to talk a lot about that throughout the week, actually, because that's what's happening here, is this downward plunder of taking from students and young people's livelihoods, their futures, to try to protect people that do not have as much time on the clock. And that is an upside down, some would argue, immoral view of utilitarian ethics, which we reject here on this program. Let me be clear. There's massive economic uncertainty. And so what happens is when you have all these prerequisites put in place, even the globalist central planners are not going to be able to predict and control what happens next. What's happening right now in Cuba is the same sort of conditions that Fidel Castro was able to take advantage of in 1953 to seize power in July of 1953. In fact, we are 2 weeks away from the anniversary of Fidel Castro seizing power away from Batista. Now, many American socialists and authoritarians, they are big fans of Cuba and Castro-style communism. I want to play some tape here of Bernie Sanders, but before I do that, I think it's a mistake just to label Cuba as communist and socialist. I think it gets too into economic terms. Instead, we have to take a minute or two and explain why is it that the economic principle of socialism will always end up in authoritarianism? Why is it that the promise of egalitarianism, the abolishing of hierarchies and private property, and I will reinforce the example. Some people would say it's somewhat of a silly example, but it's a one that applies. You're only allowed one restaurant. That's it. With a certain amount of seats, you can only serve food within a certain amount of hours because they don't want to have you be too successful because then you might hurt the other restaurant down the street. Now, I want you to imagine how that would play out in America. Instead of having Jimmy John's, there would be one Jimmy John. So what it does is it, by definition, restricts ambition, efficiency, risk-taking, and any form of drive for success. If you could only have one restaurant, why wake up as early? Why be obsessed with perfection? Why not just serve mediocre food, which is exactly what ends up happening, by the way? The reason why socialism, or the confiscation of private property. I think socialism, to be perfectly honest, is an overused term in the conservative movement. I think it's overused. I think we call everything socialist even when it's not socialist. Because sometimes it's not socialist, sometimes it's corporatist. Sometimes it's just flat out corrupt. A true socialist is someone who puts ideology first and is willing to destroy anything in their path. In fact, I'm going to say something rather controversial. At times, I would rather have a pure Bolshevik socialist than an unbelievably corrupt operator who just wants to enrich themselves and their family. And the reason being is because I can at least predict what the socialist is going to do. At least they have a core set of ideas. Where someone who is inherently incredibly corrupt, they will use the levers of power to try to do things that are so unpredictably treacherous that that's an existential threat to our way of life. But the reason why socialism and the reason why communism does not end up like the John Lennon song of no more peace and everyone running in the meadows, it's really interesting. I was just recently in Burlington, Vermont, speaking at my friend Pastor Todd Callahan's church, great church. We went out to eat at some restaurant. By the way, if you want to see kind of the nuttiest group of humanity, go to Burlington, Vermont. Just going to put that out there. Got a lot of interesting stares from people when they saw Charlie Kirk walking the streets of Burlington. I will say this, though. We had two people stop their cars and literally scream at us at how much they liked the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. So that was kind of cool. So there is a remnant of liberty in Burlington, Vermont. So we went to this one restaurant. It was really sweet, nice people. And we walk in and we have this, their equivalent of a private dining room. Of course, they don't have air conditioning because that would be too corporate or whatever. And so they have this massive mural. And I looked at the mural. I said, this illustrates exactly what the socialists think is going to happen once they seize power. So basically, this massive mural shows people wearing no clothes. They're all dancing, smiling. They don't own anything in this picture. They have this sort of egalitarian footing at this mural with animals. And it looks like a return to the Garden of Eden. And it looked as if, and deep down, and by the way, they have a picture of Bernie Sanders. They literally had a painting of Bernie Sanders in the bottom left-hand corner of this mural. And it's very naturalist, right? And in some ways, I kind of appreciate it because they don't like the pharmaceutical companies. They don't like the war industry. But it's so incredibly foolishly idealistic. It should be dismissed as something a sixth grader or a six-year-old would say. That's kind of what it is. It's the infantilization of America. As Rousseau would say, he prefers the infant over the adult, the primitive over the civilized, the adulterous over the loyal spouse. And so I looked at this mural and I realized that's what they want. And by the way, just so you know, Burlington, Vermont is where Bernie Sanders was mayor while he did this interview I'm about to play for you. And so I think some of these revolutionaries actually believe that they are going to enter into this new Garden of Eden. Now, those of us that know the Bible and we know what that actually is and what it says, it is evil to think that you can usher in anything close to the utopia that God originally granted us. In fact, it will end in the tyranny of a small group of people oppressing your rights and your freedoms. So why does it always end in that, though? Why is the arc of the promise of the new Garden of Eden, the promise of utopia, which, by the way, just so you know, the root of the word utopia means nowhere. Utopia was a term coined by Thomas More, and he wrote this idea of utopia meaning nowhere. So why is it? Why does it end that way? It's because human nature deep down, especially for the sociopaths, which is 10% of all human beings, and by the way, almost all sociopaths end up in prison, just so you know. That jail is basically a home for sociopaths. Not every person in jail is a sociopath, but 1 out of 10 people are going to believe that they can do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. They're not going to get caught. But there is a urge, especially amongst the sociopaths, to dominate you. So once you create a system where the power is up for grabs for dominating, that is exactly what's going to happen. So once you create a framework of government that can do anything, then eventually you're going to have a Napoleon, a Lenin, a Stalin, a Castro, a Mao, a Mugabe, a Pol Pot, a Mussolini, a Guevara, a Chavez. And I could keep going, by the way, that will use that power for their own means, their own trappings, and their own luxury. Bernie Sanders, as he was mayor of Burlington, Vermont, as they were trying to usher in the new Garden of Eden. Let's play cut. Let's go through all of them. Cut five. And that's 2020. What, no, the one you had right up there. Let's just play this one and listen to it. This is when he was mayor of Burlington, Vermont. I'm 90% sure. Play tape.
Here he is explaining why the Cuban people didn't rise up and help the U.S. overthrow Cuban leader Fidel Castro.
And he educated the kids, gave them health care, totally transformed the society.
So he was saying, and I know that was really short, that they have good health care, and why would they want to try to transform the society? Play the next tape.
You guys, it's unfair to simply say everything is bad. You know, when Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing? Even though Fidel Castro did it.
I mean, is that a bad thing? I mean, they can read from prison. You know, the Soviets always, there's a joke about the Soviets. There's no unemployment in the Soviet Union because dead people can't work. There's no unemployment. We're going to pay you to go dig a ditch and fill it in again. It's the wrong metric, obviously. Play the next tape of Bernie Sanders debating the I haven't heard much from Mike Bloomberg recently. Wonder what they got on him. Play tape.
What I said is what Barack Obama said in terms of Cuba, that Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think, really? And when dictatorships, whether it is the Chinese or the Cubans, do something good, you acknowledge that.
And then cut nine, Sanders on how everyone who thought Castro is a bad guy, but just because Reagan thinks Castro is a bad guy doesn't mean the people of their own country think that way. This is back when he was Burlington, Vermont. I will give Bernie Sanders credit. He has never wavered on his strange, bizarre love affair with third world dictators. Play tape.
You may recall way back in, what was it, 1961, they invaded Cuba. And everybody was totally convinced that Castro was the worst guy in the world. And all the Cuban people were going to rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro. They forgot that he educated their kids, gave them health care, totally transformed the society. But just because Ronald Reagan dislikes these people does not mean to say that the people in their own nations feel the same way. I was impressed by Father Descoto because he is a very gentle, very loving man. Ortega is an impressive guy.
Very gentle and very loving man. You see, Sanders wants to bring back the Garden of Eden. And little does he know, we can never re-usher heaven on earth here. But we can get very close to hell. Just visit to Havana and get a little taste of that. There's something brewing right now in America. When I talked with Tucker Carlson on his Fox Nation show, I said there are, geologically, to use a metaphor, some people said the election of Donald Trump was an earthquake. I think that we're living through a tremor phase right now. I think that we are living through the shock before the actual earthquake. The people in charge are doing everything imaginable to try to provoke a massive counter move to their legacy, and the power that they have over us. Now, what do I mean by that? What's happening in Cuba is going to start spreading across the world. You cannot manufacture hyperinflation, attack a nation's values, destroy the healthcare system, and expect people to take it much longer. What I'm seeing in Cuba gives me hope, and I just wish that some liberals in America wanted liberty and freedom as much as the people in Havana, Cuba. And I'm talking about the people right now in Martha's Vineyard. What we are living through, and Cuba is the canary in the coal mine. It is a sign of things to come, of people saying, I'm not going to take it any longer. My currency is worth less 10% now than it was last year. I can't find meaningful work. You're attacking my values. and my ability to be able to live the life as I see fit. You are instructing my 7-year-old to hate themselves just because they are white. I'm being put to the back of the line in racial preferences quotas as a white male. I'm not going to take it anymore. And Charles Murray agrees. Charles Murray says, and he's one of the most effective and hated, by the way, social scientists. He has a new book that has come out. I really want to get him on my podcast because I think he's amazing. But his book in the 1990s blew up the social scientist world because he dared talk about IQ, like the one thing you're not allowed to talk about. There's a book called The Bell Curve. And what Charles Murray argued, which was totally true and everyone ignored his actual argument, is that once we get away from the muscular economy and we get into the cognitive economy and we start rewarding how well you can run technology, we are going to create an economic caste system. And once you create that economic caste system, you are going to have a permanent economic elite that are uninterested. They have no desire to live amongst the unwashed in society. In fact, they're going to wage a preemptive war against you. And so we have to do everything we possibly can to cheer on the freedom fighters here in Cuba. You know why? It's going to make the American ruling class nervous and the international ruling class nervous. The more people take to the streets and demand their freedom and liberty back, that is something that the masters of the universe, the mandatory vaccination crowd, the social media oligarchs, the technology worshipers, they don't really know how to micromanage that. And when you start seeing it happen in Cuba, it can happen anywhere. When you start seeing it happen in Havana, where the price of getting in the streets is right now, let me tell you what's happening, and this will not be covered in the Western press. There were people that were walking through the streets yesterday that are in prison today. There were people that were walking the streets yesterday that are paying some sort of price. Now, Cuba does not have the rule of law like we do, so they're just going to conveniently disappear into the mountains in Cuba. We are living through the beginning stages of normal people and middle-class Americans and of all across the world start to take their power back. And I am happy to report in the most unusual place imaginable that I think we're seeing the fault lines and the beginning stages of the evil Castro regime come to the end. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.